You're listening to the Jesus Culture Sacramento Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Banning Leibscher. For more information on our church, visit jcsacramento.com.
If you have your Bibles, get them out, Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to start a series today that's actually going to lead us all the way into the end of the year. We're going to start a series. I'm going to take 10 Sundays for this series, and we'll spread that out a little bit over the next few months. The series is called The Church I See. This is actually coming out of a dream that Cody Williams, who's our young adult pastor and director of development for Jesus Culture, right before he planted the church, he had a dream and he saw a piece of paper, and at the top of the paper it said, The Church I See. And we were in this kind of time where we are trying to just pray in and press into Jesus. What is it that you're wanting to build at this church? What is it that you're doing here? And he had that dream, and he actually gave me a piece of paper that said, The Church I See. And so as we kind of go in, I feel like as we wrapped up our fourth year, head into our fifth year, we're still in a very critical time in laying the foundation of this church. And so I think it's important that we kind of go over some things that I really believe this is what Jesus is doing. The church I see is this. This is what I believe Jesus is building in our midst. As well as some of you are new. And so some of the stuff we're going to talk about over the next 10 weeks, we've talked about over the last 4 years, but I feel like we again just need to bring this stuff and say, this is what I believe Jesus is doing, and really bringing people along with that. So we're going to start this series today, The Church I See. Go to Matthew 16, like we mentioned, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and then here's what we're going to come back to. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I'm going to start this series, and I just kind of want to give an intro to it as we head off over the next few months by touching base on something that Chris spoke on last week at our four-year anniversary. Now, if you weren't here last week, go get the podcast, listen to it. He talked about transition, but he referenced something where he said that this church will be an apostolic model, not a pastoral model. Now, what I realized as he was speaking was that many people in here may not have come from the stream that we come from, or the churches that we come from, or maybe you don't come from charismatic, or maybe you didn't grow up in church at all. And so sometimes we say things like apostolic model, and we're not quite sure what that means. I don't know if you've ever walked into an environment where they're speaking a language that you don't know what they're, like, not even a language, they're just using words that you just kind of nod and smile, but you have no idea what they're talking about. This is every Thanksgiving for me. Every Thanksgiving, all of the brother-in-laws in my life were all like diehard football guys, like D1 quarterback, head coach at a high school, played at high levels. Every Thanksgiving, they sit for about 6 hours and just talk football strategy. And the whole, I understand football, but I never played it. So the whole time I'm just like, oh, totally. Yeah, I would, that nickel, that and dime, that A slot, I'd put him in the A slot too, for sure. He missed it by not going to the B slot. It's crazy town. And like, and so I don't know, you know, sometimes, or you know what else has happened to me? I started CrossFit a while ago. I know it doesn't fully look like it, but that's not the point. But I promise you I go. But CrossFit is a whole subculture. It's like a whole subculture that has its own language. And so you already feel a little bit dumb going because you're really soft. And the older I get, the softer I feel. And so you kind of show up and you're like, I feel out of shape and a little soft. And then you come into it, really nice people, right? Really nice people. But they're using language that you're just like, I have no idea what you're talking about right now. It's like, you know, they have like WADS and AMRAP and EMOM, and then they're doing like burpees, and they're doing kipping swings and Turkish get-ups. And so they're like, all right, we're going to do Turkish get-ups. And you're like, totally. I just did 10 of those this morning before I came. Love those. kipping swings, and you just kind of feel like, and again, and you don't want to ask, you don't want to be like, I don't know what that means, and I don't know what that means, and I have no idea when you say WAD or AMRAP. I don't know what an AMRAP is, so I'm not going to be able to do it. And you just kind of try to pay attention to what other people are doing. But this is what I feel sometimes in church, whether you come from a charismatic background or maybe you don't have church. Sometimes, it's a word that comes and says, listen, this is an apostolic model. Our church is built on an apostolic model. It's an apostolic house. And so we're like, yeah, that's awesome. No idea what you're talking about with that. What does he mean? And so I kind of want to just unpack briefly, if I can, that concept of when we say that it's an apostolic model, not a pastoral model, what does that even mean? Now the word apostle, you have to understand that Jesus had apostles. So his disciples became apostles. And those apostles were the early leaders in the church. And then Paul comes along, and when Paul, who's writing a ton about church structure, church government, church flow, he comes in Ephesians 4 and says, Jesus has given us gifts. And these gifts we call the fivefold ministry. And the fivefold ministry is called the fivefold ministry because there's five of them, all right? Just in case you're wondering why we call it the fivefold. So there's fivefold ministry, and these are gifts. They're governmental church offices. They're leadership roles within the church. And he said, here's Ephesians 4:11. You can put it up there. And he himself, talking about Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, if you grew up in the church, and if you were like me, I understand the term pastors, I understood the term teachers, I understood the term evangelists, but apostles and prophets weren't really a part of our language. They weren't even a part of our structure. We had the threefold ministry. Jesus gave us the threefold ministry. And so you kind of come in and go, okay, I don't know what apostles and prophets are or what an apostolic model is or all that type of stuff. But it's important. I mean, Jesus, he himself gave us gifts, and there's five of them. And they are there to enrich our lives, strengthen us, equip us, encourage us, challenge us. That's what they're there for, to build us. But what happens is many times the church is built on something else. And here's why it's important. Let me just say this. And I'm trying to figure out how much to cover in the amount of time I have. There's the office or the role or the leadership spot of an apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher. But there is also a ministry. So in other words, there's the prophetic ministry. But just because I can prophesy doesn't mean I'm in the office of a prophet, right? So there are actual like offices. There's actually like leadership roles. Chris Vallotton last week is in the office of a prophet. So just because, but there is a prophetic ministry as well. There's an apostolic ministry. It's a mindset. It's how I approach the church. It's how we build the apostolic mindset, the pastoral mindset, the prophetic mindset. And I want to deal more with the model and the mindset than I do the office today. It's important that we understand what the apostolic is and what the prophetic is for two main reasons. One is this: Jesus has given you these gifts to strengthen you, to encourage you, to equip you, to mature you. And so if I am kind of embracing or understand the pastoral, the teaching, the evangelist kind of concept, but I'm missing two of those gifts, it's actually detrimental to you. It's actually, you're missing out on the fullness that God wants to release to you simply because you don't have an understanding of how to embrace, receive, or understand the apostolic or prophetic. But the other reason is this, and this is why I wanted to start the series with this, is as we talk about the church that Jesus is building, we have to understand a couple things. One is this: Jesus is building his church. Jesus is building this church. That's right. Amen. He's building this local church, and he is building the church worldwide. Jesus is. That's what we just read. He said, and I will build my church. He is building his church. But Paul in Ephesians describes Jesus as the chief cornerstone, but describes that what Jesus is building is on the foundation of apostles and prophets. So if we're to truly recognize what Jesus is building and what he wants to build, we have to have an understanding of what the apostolic and prophetic is. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, this is the church, this is your lives being fitted and formed together that form the church, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. It's not that like the apostolic or the prophetic are like super gifts or like more important than all the other gifts. But there is an order by which God does, and where he says, listen, the apostolic and prophetic is what I'm going to build the church on, and those need to be the things that are at the forefront leading. So they need to be out front. In fact, there's when he says the fivefold ministry, there's another list. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28. It says this. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. The body of Christ is the church. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. So Jesus, it's important that we understand about the apostolic and prophetic, because we can't talk about the church being built. We can't talk about the church that Jesus is building without understanding that he said in the church, it's first apostles, then prophets, then teachers. That he's saying, listen, apostles and prophets, the foundation, they've got to be at the forefront. I'm going to talk about why, but it's important that they're there, because God has given a blueprint. He's given the map. He's given the direction of where to go to those offices. To not only those offices, but that apostolic mindset understands what to build and where to go. And when you remove the apostolic, when you remove the prophetic, the church doesn't know where to go. The church doesn't know what to build, and the church doesn't know where to go if we've removed those things. And I don't know about you, I want to be with people who know where they're going. My anxiety is high when I am lost and wandering. I've told you this before, but I am horrible at directions, and so I'm never confident in this area. And again, it's not that the pastoral gift or the teaching gift or the evangelist gift, those are not less important. But in regards to role in building the church, the apostolic and the prophetic is huge. And I want to have that apostolic and prophetic, because I want to know where we're going. And I want to know what to build and how to get there. I don't know. Yeah, I've told you about my lack of direction, but years ago we were in Reading and we were driving to Humboldt County, South Humboldt County, a place called Garberville. I was going to go preach to a church there. And so we're driving in a car and we got our babies in the car. So we decided, instead of go 299, I think there's another route. I think it's 36 or something. We're going to go another route. And they're super windy, but it's beautiful. And we're like, let's take another route there. So we're kind of halfway there. And we pull over at this like little, like, it's just like a burger shack or something where they make burgers. And I don't know, if you've never been out there in Trinity County, it's beautiful. And then there are people that live out there intentionally, you know, kind of by themselves away from society. And this guy, really nice guy, super nice guy, but just a little odd. He comes up, just got this huge, you know, belly. He's got this Hawaiian shirt that's totally open. He's got like this beard that's kind of coming out of his throat. I couldn't quite figure it out. Really nice guy though, right? He's like, hey, what's going on? He's making small talk. And he tells us, he goes, hey, you know, there's a fire, you know, just a few miles up the road. You're going to get stuck. I said, oh, man, we're trying to get there tonight. He goes, well, I'll tell you what, I can give you another direction if you want. There's another way to get there. I'm like, oh, that's great. What is it? He goes, yeah, about a mile up the road. You want to turn left and then just keep going. You'll hit Garberville. I was like, thank you so much. And I decided to take it. And so we go down. And this is like just forest out there, you know. And we turn left on this road where this random guy we met at Burger Shack or whatever tells us. And we drove for about 3 hours. Like, we didn't see a car for like 2 hours. Like, my gas is starting to run out. It's starting to get dark. Like, we're out in the middle of the woods. We were on like paved road, and all of a sudden it would just turn into like a dirt single lane road. And I'm like, I got my kids in the car. I'm like, CJ, are we headed? Like, all I wanted in that moment was somebody who had a map. There was no GPS. We didn't have the GPS phones. Like somebody had a map, somebody that knew where they were going. I just need somebody who knows what they're going. My anxiety would have been dropped a lot in that moment. And I tell you, in the church, this is my concern, that if we are not only aware of, engaging, embracing, celebrating the apostolic and prophetic ministry, understanding the role that they play in building the church, we don't know where to go. We get lost. The church gets lost apart from those things being in place. That's why it's so critical. It's why it's so important. If you're truly going to understand the apostolic or what that means, that word apostle comes from a Greek word called apostle. Let me read it to you. It sounds almost similar. It comes from a Greek word called apostolos. Apostolos? This is when you can tell I didn't go to school. I was making most of this stuff up. Apostolos. That's where I get Glenn Reed to tell me. And that word, it was actually when Jesus used that word, he was borrowing it from secular culture. That word had been around. It wasn't a Christian term. It was actually a secular term. In fact, 350 years before, that word was actually used to both in as an admiral for a navy and as an ambassador. So let me just read this to you, because if you're going to really understand what the apostolic means, it's important to understand why Jesus took that word and applied it to his disciples. He took a word from secular society and used it for his disciples, and you'll see why. During the time of the ancient Greek orator Demosthenes, 384 through 322 BC, the word apostolos was a naval term that described an admiral, the fleet of ships that traveled with him, and the specialized crew who accompanied and assisted the admiral. The fleet would be sent out to sea on a mission to locate territories where civilization was non-existent. Once an uncivilized region was identified, the admiral, called the apostolos, along with his specialized crew and all their cargo and belongings, would disembark, settle down, and work as a team to establish a new community. Again, when we talk about an apostolic model, an apostolic house, an apostolic community, this is where this is coming from. Then they would begin the process of transforming a strange land into a replica of life as they believed it should be. Their purpose was total colonization of the uncivilized territory. Within this special fleet of ships were both the personnel and the cargo required to establish a new culture, a new life, and a new community. When that fleet pulled up to shore, it contained workers trained to build roads, construct buildings, and teach uncivilized natives how to read, write, and function in a new kind of social order. Thus, the admiral became the team leader for the construction of a new society. So the apostolic, and then the other term it was used for was ambassador, which we would understand that a lot more, that an ambassador, somebody who is sent with authority to speak for in place of the one who sent him. So an admiral, this is what they would do. I mean, that term was used 350 years before Jesus was born. And that term was that apostolos would come in with a crew of people and begin to establish a new society in places. This is the apostolic. And this is important to understand that the fivefold is critical to build the church. All of the fivefold is extremely important, extremely needed. And really the fivefold working together is that true representation of the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus is represented in that fivefold working together. They're all needed. But when it comes to the apostolic and the prophetic, the understanding of where to go and how to build and what Jesus is building, it's important that we embrace this thing, because there is a purpose. When the apostolic is at the forefront leading, the purpose of the church remains clear, and the purpose of the church is this: to advance the kingdom. The purpose of the church is to advance the kingdom. There is a kingdom, the king's domain. All that, the authority, rule, and reign of Jesus. That the church's purpose, the church's mission is to advance the kingdom. Is that the rule and reign of Jesus would increase and expand. And wherever his rule is not established, that it would be established. And if you're wondering what the kingdom is, again, it's the king's domain. But the Bible makes it very clear of what the kingdom manifests as. Listen to this, Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but this is what it is, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So in other words, when the Spirit of God is present, the kingdom is advancing. This is why when we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when we pray for a move of the Holy Spirit, we are praying that the kingdom of God would advance. And when the kingdom of God comes, it is righteousness, it is peace, it is joy. The Bible also says that the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. This means that the purpose of the church, the mission of the church, is that where there is unrighteousness, his kingdom would be established. Where there is chaos and fear and worry and anxiety, that his kingdom would be established. The joy, where there is bondage and sickness and depression and oppression, that power would come, that his kingdom would be established. This is the mission of the church. And the reason why it's important that the apostolic and the prophetic are what this church is based on, and they're at the forefront of this thing, because when they are removed, the church begins to forget what its purpose is. And again, I'm not on anybody in here today, but there's many people in the American church that believe the church's purpose is to take care of their needs. This is a trap that we fall into many times whenever it's, and the pastor is huge, so important. The pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, all of them are so critical, but it's that apostolic that keeps us saying, like, the church's main purpose is not to meet the needs of people. This is an American thing that we fall into, and we just kind of do it everywhere. It's kind of human nature. Like, I default to, I think the world should be taking care of my needs. And so we come into church, and what I believe is this. The church is here to take care of my needs. And when my needs aren't taken care of, I go look for a church whose purpose and mission is to take care of my needs. Now, I am not somebody that thinks you have to be at one church the rest of your life. So can I just say this? Because sometimes I think it's silly that it's like somehow if you leave a church and go to another one, you know, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to be one place the rest of your life. You're disloyal. Listen, Jesus can put his people wherever he wants to put his people. So, but there are many people that leave churches because they're like, well, you know, they just didn't have the programs I was looking for, and they didn't have this thing that I was looking for, and they didn't have that. And the problem is what they think is that church exists to take care of my needs. And can I just tell you this? The church doesn't exist to take care of your needs. The church exists to advance the kingdom. And therefore, in that process, the church is here to equip you, strengthen you, challenge you, grow you, mature you, so that you can advance the kingdom. And this is why, again, when he says first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, because it's a little bit like, if I could use a sports analogy, as a head football coach, the role of the head football coach understands the mission, understands the bigger purpose. Where if there's a strength and conditioning coach, the strength and conditioning coach isn't the head coach. Because strength and conditioning, as important as it is, as critical as it is still not the mission. Like, success for a strength and conditioning coach is you got stronger, you got quicker, you got more agile. The head coach understands that's for a reason. That's for a reason. That's so that you can go advance the kingdom. I want you connecting in community. I want you finding people. I want you getting healthy. I want you growing. I want your needs being met. I'm just telling you there are sub-purposes. But the main purpose is I want you healthy because I want the kingdom of God advancing through your life. I want it. I want marriages healed and restored because I want the kingdom of God advancing first and foremost in the home and in the family. And then I want the kingdom advancing at your workplace. And then I want the kingdom advancing at your gym. And then I want the kingdom advancing in your neighborhood. And then I want the kingdom to advance. That's what we're here for. And so when I come in, then I understand, oh, if I approach the church as something else, I'm frustrated and wondering, why aren't you building something for me to like be able to do whatever, realizing like, no, like the fivefold with the apostles and prophets, the foundation of what God is building, that mentality is here so that I can get equipped, grow, get healthy, encouraged, so that we can advance the kingdom. So the rule and reign of Jesus can be expanded and increased. And I'm going to tell you right now, the kingdom is an advancing kingdom. You do not find in Scripture anywhere where it talks about the kingdom decreasing, shrinking back, on the defense. It is an advancing kingdom. This is why when Jesus goes, I'm going to build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail. Listen, gates are permanent fixtures. Gates aren't moving. Guess who's moving? The church. The church is moving towards those things. The church is advancing. There's a picture of the church advancing towards the very things that don't reflect the kingdom of God. They don't reflect the kingdom of God. There's unrighteousness, and there's bondage, and there's fear, and there's sickness. We move towards those things so that the kingdom of God can be established. When Jesus is giving an example of what the kingdom is, he ties it into a mustard seed. And that mustard seed is growing, it's increasing, it's advancing. He uses the illustration of its leaven. It's leaven that is hidden and until it spreads. It's an advancing concept and it's an advancing kingdom. And this is what the apostolic and prophetic keep at the forefront. Because I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at anybody that somehow we think like the church is here just to meet our needs, and nor are we just trying to, how would I say this? Like, I want you to find community and to get equipped and to, I want all that, right? I'm not up here going like, I don't care about your needs. I do care about your needs. I'm just telling you, the church doesn't exist just to take care of your needs. And if I'm looking for churches that are just going to take care of my needs, I'm telling you, at the center of that thing then won't be that we want to advance the kingdom. That's what we want to do. I want to advance the kingdom of God. I want to advance the kingdom of God. That's even why we have such a heart for people to get saved and for them to know Jesus, because the kingdom is peace. It's joy. It's righteousness. It's power. I want you to know that stuff. If you've been here for any length of time, you'll see some things. And again, I don't know what your background is on church, if you have any or if you didn't. But sometimes there's a concept that like the pastor, and I'm talking about in title, that the pastor is kind of there to do my counseling, and the pastor is there to, to marry me and to be at my house, and the pastor is there for this. And I don't have a problem with any of that. It's not that I have a problem with that, but we miss sometimes a thing. What you'll find around here is, it's not that that's not happening just because we're a large church. It's that, no, that there's this thing sometimes where we come in and we think the structure is set up a certain way for this. And I want to challenge you on this thing. This is why if you've been around here for any length of time, you'll notice I'm gone once a month. Like on a Sunday, once a month, I'm out somewhere else preaching, because some churches are set up where the whole entire environment is to take care of the people in the seats. So all the resources, all the finances, all the energy, everything is just about that. And we want to get people in, but it's all here. We want to take care of seats. And I'm telling you, you're part of an apostolic house that is wanting to advance the kingdom. And that means that our whole world is not just set up that way. That means that as an apostolic house, we sow our best into the nation and the nations to advance the kingdom. We sow our best. That's why I'm gone. That's horrible. I'm calling myself our best. But that's why there's tours. That's why we'll put on a conference. That's why we put a lot of energy into putting on a conference. That's why I'll go. That's because we're an apostolic house that says, listen, we're not just building a church that's just here to meet my needs. And I want your needs met. I really do. Like, I care about them. But I want to advance the kingdom. That's what we want to do. We want to see the kingdom advanced here in Sacramento. We want to see the kingdom advanced in this nation. We want to see the kingdom advanced in the nations of the earth. And that's why you're running a structure. We want to start a school. We want to start a leadership school. And we want to do all this different type of stuff simply because we're a church that says we want to advance the kingdom. And we want to do it as a family. We want to be a family that advances the kingdom. That's my goal. My goal is that you would come here, you would find family, you would find health, you would grow and mature and get equipped and find identity. And then together as a family, we'd say, let's go advance the kingdom. That's what we're about. And here's a crazy thing. You're such a huge part of God's plan to advance the kingdom. Do you know how big of a plan you are? Is that, look, this is the goal, the kingdom of God increasing and advancing. And guess where the kingdom of God is? It's in your life. This is a profound part. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. The Spirit of God, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within you. The kingdom of God is inside of you. And this is why it's so important that you understand the goal is to advance the kingdom. Because God does that through your life. So wherever you're at right now during the week, God wants to establish a kingdom there. He wants to establish in your home and at your workplace, in your neighborhood, and in your group of friends. God's like, I want to advance the kingdom through your life. I want to advance the kingdom through your life. And he's placed you strategically as a coach, as a police officer, as a teacher, as a businesswoman. As a stay-at-home parent, whatever it is, God's like, I want to advance the kingdom through your life. I want the rule and reign of Jesus, righteousness, peace, joy, power. I want that to be established all around you. But when we remove the apostolic and prophetic out of kind of the church or embracing and engaging and celebrating it, what happens is we get a little bit lost and then we kind of settle into, I think church is about me, right? I think so. Why do you go to church? Well, it's about me. And we got to shift that thing. Are you with me on this? Yes. All right, stand up. This is what most excites me. I love seeing people get healthy. I love seeing people get connected. I love seeing people find their tribe and their marriages being healed and their bodies being healed. But I just love it because the kingdom of God is advancing. Man, we just did a Love After Marriage weekend here. Some of the most incredible testimonies we've heard coming out of that weekend. And you know what? I think the kingdom of heaven is advancing there. Like the kingdom of heaven is advancing in marriages. And that's just going to go from there like leaven. And it's just going to continue to get into our neighborhoods and our schools and our workplaces because this is what the kingdom does. Father, we just pray. So grateful for what you're doing in this house. God, we're so grateful for what you're doing in this house. And Lord, we just pray that we would have an apostolic mindset in this house. That we would have an apostolic mindset that says, God, we're here to be equipped and encouraged and matured and grown so that we can see your kingdom advance. God, we're asking that everywhere you've placed us, people in this room, in the areas of this city, the areas of culture that are represented in here, God, we ask that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done right there. That your kingdom would advance in that area. And Lord, I pray you'd shift to any areas in our life where we've somehow approached church separate from that apostolic or prophetic mindset. God, I'm asking that you would build this church. You said that you would build your church, and I'm asking here at Jesus Culture Sacramento that you would build this church and that this church at the gates of Hades would not be able to prevail against this church. That we would storm the gates of hell and establish your kingdom. We just say we love you, Jesus. We do this because we're just so in love with you. So grateful for all you've done.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Hungry for more? Search Jesus Culture on your podcast platforms to check out more from our Jesus Culture podcast network.